Today is Monday, May the 12th, and you are listening to the World Socialist Website. India-Pakistan conflict threatens nuclear catastrophe. By Keith Jones. India and Pakistan, South Asia's rival nuclear powers, are on the brink of an all-out war. Such a conflict would be catastrophic, not only for the region's 2 billion people, but for the entire world. An India-Pakistan war could rapidly escalate into nuclear annihilation and draw in other major powers, particularly the United States and China. Pakistani Defence Minister Khwaja Asif has repeatedly warned that Pakistan, whose population is 1/6 and economy 1/10 the size of India's, could be compelled to use its nuclear arsenal. Last Wednesday, following India's large-scale missile attack involving over 75 warplanes, including advanced Rafale jets, Asif stated that if India imposes an all-out war on the region, then at any time a nuclear war can break out. Only on Saturday, after 4 days of intense cross-border missile strikes and artillery exchanges centred in, but not limited to, the disputed Kashmir region, did New Delhi and Islamabad agree to a truce. Whether the ceasefire, first announced by US President Donald Trump on his Truth Social platform, will hold is in serious doubt. Almost immediately, both sides accused each other of violating the ceasefire, each claiming to have gotten the better in the fighting. New Delhi and Islamabad have also exchanged provocative, communally charged allegations of deliberately targeting civilians and religious sites. India remains adamant that all measures adopted after it blamed Pakistan for the April 22nd terrorist attack in Indian-held Kashmir will stay in effect. These include suspending participation in the Indus Water Treaty, a move Islamabad has condemned as an act of war, warning it threatens Pakistan's agriculture, food supply, and power grid. What is certain is that the world has come perilously close to the first ever all-out war between nuclear-armed states. These developments must be understood as part of a broader breakdown in global interstate relations. World geopolitics are increasingly dominated by escalating trade conflicts, a global rush led by the United States and other imperialist powers to implement massive rearmament programs, the eruption of regional wars, the imperialist-backed genocide in Gaza, and the normalization of nuclear brinkmanship. India and Pakistan have faced repeated war crises, notably in 2016 and 2019, when Washington backed New Delhi's efforts to change the rules of the game by launching illegal cross-border strikes against Pakistan. However, last week's military clashes were the most intense in decades, involving large-scale fighter jet dogfights, strikes on air defense systems, and, for the first time, drone and cross-border missile attacks. India, and then Pakistan, deliberately crossed each other's red lines. India's May 6-7 assault struck multiple targets deep inside Pakistan's Punjabi heartland. As fighting escalated, both sides targeted military bases, including, according to Islamabad, an Indian attempt to strike the airbase near Pakistan's military headquarters in Rawalpindi. Reports suggest one or both sides may have used ballistic missiles, capable of carrying tactical nuclear warheads. Both countries possess tactical and strategic nuclear weapons, capable of incinerating the other's major population centres. Were that not chilling enough, a 2008 study found that even a limited exchange, involving just 100 Hiroshima-sized bombs, totaling 1.5 megatons, could trigger a catastrophic nuclear winter. As Richard Rhodes explained in the 2012 edition of The Making of the Atomic Bomb, a nuclear exchange between India and Pakistan, quote, would inevitably be targeted on cities filled with combustible materials, causing firestorms that would inject massive volumes of black smoke into the upper atmosphere, which would spread around the world, cooling the earth long enough and sufficiently to produce worldwide agricultural collapse, unquote. An estimated 20 million would die immediately from the blast, fire and radiation, followed by up to a billion deaths from mass starvation. Workers should treat with contempt the efforts by Trump and his minions to exploit Washington's belated calls for de-escalation in the Indo-Pakistani conflict to bolster the fascist president's cynical pretense of being a champion of peace. This is not just because Trump is enabling Israel's efforts to complete the genocide in Gaza through a renewed military assault and deliberate starvation, threatening Iran with obliteration, escalating Washington's confrontation with China, and pushing a $1 trillion defense budget. American imperialism's role in South Asia, as everywhere, is incendiary. For more than two decades, Washington has prioritized integrating India into its military strategic offensive against rising China. To this end, both the Democratic and Republican administrations have extended major strategic concessions to New Delhi while dramatically downgrading relations with Pakistan. The Indo-US Global Strategic Partnership has emboldened the Hindu supremacist Bharatiya Janata Party, the BJP-led government, in its confrontational stance towards Pakistan, while pushing Islamabad to deepen its alliance with Beijing. This includes collaboration on the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, aimed at providing China with alternatives to US efforts to blockade vital Indian and Pacific Ocean choke points. The Indo-Pakistani conflict is thus increasingly intertwined with US imperialism's efforts to thwart China's rise, magnifying the explosive character of both. A full-scale war between India and Pakistan would threaten to upend the Eurasian geopolitical order, drawing in the US and China, and transforming a regional clash into a global conflagration. It is a measure of the recklessness of the imperialist ruling classes, confronted with the deepening crisis of world capitalism and a resurgence of global class struggle, that Washington ignored the South Asian war crisis until India and Pakistan were locked in a rapidly escalating cycle of tit-for-tat military strikes that is spiraling toward disaster. In his recently published memoir, Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State during Trump's first term, recalls that in 2019, India's then foreign minister told him that New Delhi believed Pakistan was preparing to deploy nuclear weapons and was readying its own arsenal in response. Pompeo wrote, "I do not think the world properly knows just how close the India-Pakistan rivalry came to spilling over into a nuclear conflagration in February 2019. Yet as recently as last Thursday, US Vice President J.D. Vance, who visited New Delhi last month to deepen the Indo-US anti-China military alliance, blithely stated that the Trump administration was not concerned with the escalating war in South Asia, because the conflict was fundamentally none of our business. Under the Biden administration, the contours of a US-initiated global war took shape through the US-NATO-instigated war against Russia, the US-Israeli campaign to impose a final solution to the Palestinian question, and the redrawing of the map of the Middle East, and the intensified US drive against China. Now Trump, the embodiment of oligarchy, dictatorship and imperialist violence, has accelerated the collapse of interstate relations through his global trade war, an expanding list of annexation targets, from Canada and Greenland to the Panama Canal and Gaza. But all the imperialist and lesser capitalist powers are following the same path, locked in a ruthless struggle for control over markets, resources, and strategic territories. This drive is propelled by the same essential contradictions that gave rise to the two world wars of the last century. As David North, chairman of the WSWS International Editorial Board, explained in his address to the International May Day online rally, quote, "The essential causes of the descent into political barbarism and catastrophic global warfare are the same economic and social contradictions of the capitalist regime that resulted in war and fascism in the last century. These interrelated contradictions are, first, the incompatibility of the world economy with the capitalist nation-state system, and second, the socially destructive character of capitalist private ownership of the productive forces, controlled by money-mad oligarchs, and social production involving the labour of the billions of people that comprise the international working class." Unquote. If catastrophe is to be averted, the decisive task is to build a global anti-war movement that unites the fight to mobilise the working class against the deepening assault on its democratic and social rights with the struggle against war and the capitalist system that produces it. US Immigration Gestapo Continues Nationwide Terror Campaign by Jacob Cross. Emboldened by Trump and the feckless Democrats, immigration police around the United States are operating with lawless impunity as they carry out their fascist deportation operations. In states governed by Republicans and Democrats alike, federal agents under the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, including Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, thugs, and their accomplices in Customs and Border Protection, CBP, and Homeland Security Investigations, the HSI, are arresting parents, children, and even local officials without cause, a warrant, or due process. Every day on social media, videos are shared showing horrifying images of heavily armed and masked thugs ripping families apart and handcuffing and disappearing them into unmarked vehicles. The detained are trapped in a network of for-profit prisons for weeks, if not months on end, before being exiled to a home country, which could range from an El Salvadoran mega prison to a Libyan dungeon, or a country the person has not been to in years or has no memory of, because they came to the United States as infants and grew up here. Unable to carry out mass deportations with the current forces at his disposal, Trump ordered DHS Friday to hire 20,000 additional agents, seeking to deport 1 million people by the end of the year. The Trump administration is enlisting state police to assist in the operations. In Tennessee, which is controlled by the Republicans, the Tennessee Highway Patrol has partnered with ICE to carry out illegal searches and seizures of residents. The racist and targeted operation began on May the 3rd, focused on Latino neighborhoods around Nashville. In the early morning hours, the state police began making hundreds of traffic stops with ICE agents. Suspected undocumented immigrants were detained and quickly moved onto two charter buses and sent to Louisiana. Since May 3rd, the Tennessee Highway Patrol has conducted nearly 600 such traffic stops, with ICE agents arresting 103 people for alleged immigration violations, according to the Associated Press. The fascist roundup has provoked mass anger throughout the Nashville metropolitan area, home to over 2 million people. On Saturday, a Major League Soccer game held at Gaithers Park in Nashville was boycotted by thousands of local residents. La Brigada de Oro, the officially recognized Latin American supporter group for Nashville SC, cancelled all game day activities, while many of those who did attend the game held signs that read, "We are not all here," in English, and "No estamos todo aquí," in Spanish. In a video posted to her Instagram page early Sunday morning, rock singer Monty Mader reported that there were multiple raids in downtown Nashville while she was performing. "We worked downtown Nashville, the Broadway Strip, and there were ICE raids on Broadway and the bars tonight. Places were closing their kitchens early, getting their staff home, posting signs saying, "Private, do not enter." "And I want to be so fucking clear," she continued, "that these masked federal police officers who are not announcing themselves and do not have probable cause and do not have warrants are breaking the law. This is kidnapping and human trafficking." In the same video, she reminded these weak, masked-up cowards that after Hitler, the Nuremberg trials were held. "This fever is going to break, and you will be held accountable for your crimes." In California, a so-called sanctuary state controlled by the Democratic Party, immigrant police have been conducting raids up and down the Central Coast. In a particularly heinous incident, on May the 4th at an Oxnard gas station, a man was taken in by DHS thugs, leaving the two children he was with, neither of whom had a driver's license, alone in the parking lot. Gas station worker Juan Conches recounted to 805 UndocuFund, "They arrested someone. They left the children in the truck." 805 UndocuFund noted that one of the children left behind was 19, old enough to be alone but unable to drive, stranded and powerless to leave. Conches moved the truck and helped the children get in touch with their sister, who was eventually able to come and drive them away. Claims by the Trump administration that only criminal aliens would be swept up in the raids were always false, and that reality is being borne out every day. In Maui, Hawaii, last week, a US citizen teacher had her home mistakenly raided by ICE agents. The teacher, who wished to remain anonymous but recounted her story to local press and the Hawaii State Teachers Association, said about a dozen armed agents pushed through her door and forced their way into her home at around 6:15 a.m. last Tuesday without providing a warrant. "The whole situation was really overwhelming and traumatic for all of us, but I felt the need to speak out because I feel it could have been handled better," the teacher said. The teacher reported that the agents refused to look at her identification for 45 minutes while they detained her and searched through her home. The immigration police took down the names of everyone who lived there, which included other teachers from the Philippines, legally in the US on work visas. Eventually, the agents allowed the teacher to get her passport and show it to them, at which point they finally provided a search warrant, which was for a man who had not lived there for over a year. In a statement after the raid, an ICE spokesperson said the occupants of the location were cooperative and HSI was able to conduct its search without interference or any impediment. For the safety of the agents and the occupants, residents of the home were briefly detained and interviewed in addition to the search. The Trump administration has whipped up such a fascistic mood among ICE agents that they feel total impunity to grab anyone whom they confront, immigrant, citizen, or even, apparently, a US politician. On Friday, the Democratic mayor of Newark, New Jersey, Raz Baraka, was arrested outside Delaney Hall, a GEO group detention facility, on federal trespassing charges. The mayor, who was outside the gates of the facility when the masked and heavily armed agents arrested him, has a May 15th court date. Speaking to Al Sharpton on MSNBC over the weekend, Baraka said, "I was put in a cell. I was given a mugshot, fingerprinted, charged with the federal crime of trespassing." Asked by Sharpton if everyone in the detention centre ought to be there, Baraka replied, "See, that's the point of contention here. We don't know what's going on in there. We don't know who's in there. They don't allow inspections." In a Saturday interview with CNN, DHS spokesperson Tricia McLaughlin threatened that there will likely be more arrests coming, including possibly members of Congress. Democratic Representatives Bonnie Watson-Coleman, LaMonica McIver, and Robert Menendez Jr. were at the facility conducting an oversight visit at the same time as Baraka. "We actually have body camera footage of some of these members of Congress assaulting our ICE enforcement officers, including body slamming a female ICE officer, so we will be showing that to viewers very shortly," McLaughlin claimed. The incredulous CNN host replied, "You say a video of members of Congress body slamming ICE officials." McLaughlin falsely said, "That's correct, sir. It's disgusting." The CNN host replied, "Are you suggesting that members of Congress will be arrested who were there yesterday?" "This is an ongoing investigation, and that is definitely on the table," replied the DHS spokeswoman. California State University students wage hunger strike against Gaza genocide. By Mark Wells. On May 5th, 25 students from San Francisco State, Sacramento State, Long Beach State, and San Jose State universities in California launched a hunger strike under the banner of Students for Justice in Palestine, the SJP, to oppose mass starvation as part of the genocide in Gaza. We refuse to be complicit in the Israeli occupation's siege on Gaza, which has left countless Palestinians suffering from malnourishment, disease, and death, they declared in a statement. Israel's siege has turned Gaza into a killing ground, the statement notes. Starvation, as a tool of war and collective punishment, has already taken the lives of 17,000 children in Gaza since October 2023. This figure reveals only a fraction of the monstrous scale of the crime, where children waste away while the world's leading powers ship weapons, money, and diplomatic cover to the Israeli war machine. The statement warns, the Israeli government aims to continue the mass extermination of Palestinians by withholding food, water, medicine, fuel, and other supplies at the border, while barring humanitarian workers and medical aid from entering Gaza. The genocidal siege stretches far beyond direct murder, extending into the everyday life of every Palestinian. Aurora, a striking student member of SJP at Long Beach State, spoke to the WSWS. The situation in Gaza is comparable to what the Nazis carried out during World War II against the Jewish people, which was unconscionable. She also commented on the role of academic institutions. Universities have basically become businesses and corporations under capitalism. This drive for profit is partially what has caused universities to become so complicit in global oppression. The Trump administration has pressured major universities like Harvard, Columbia, and Penn by threatening or cutting federal funds if they don't comply with government demands on cracking down on protests against the genocide, which university administrators have dutifully enforced. Aurora added her concerns about academic institutions' complicity with the Trump administration. We're seeing a lot of anticipatory compliance from our universities, where without even facing any consequences or waiting for Trump to fully do things, they're already bending to his will just in the anticipation that he could cut them off financially. California State University, the CSU, responded to the hunger strike by firmly denying any plans to divest from Israel, one of the students' main demands. In a statement issued through spokesperson Amy Bentley-Smith, the administration said, "We respect the diverse beliefs and personal convictions of our students, including those who have chosen to participate in a hunger strike. At the same time, we strongly urge our students to consider forms of expression that do not jeopardize their health and well-being." CSU's posture of concern for the well-being of its own students stands in stark contrast to the administration's silence on the suffering of the Palestinians. Tens of thousands of Palestinians, including children, have been killed in Israel's bombardment and siege since October 2023, with many more injured or facing imminent starvation. The Trump administration has intensified its backing for Israeli ethnic cleansing of Palestinians, while also fueling tensions that threaten to spiral into a regional or even world war. Trump's close ties with far-right elements in Israel, his promotion of authoritarian measures at home, and his encouragement of campus repression and censorship are all part of a broader effort to crush dissent, stifle anti-war sentiment, and prepare for escalating conflicts abroad. Both Democratic and Republican leaders have taken part in criminalizing anti-Zionist protests, weaponizing accusations of anti-Semitism, and even terrorism to justify repression. Among the demands of the students is the end of the university's financial ties to military contractors providing Israel with weapons, along with other financial ties. They also demand an end to all restrictions on free speech. The demand that universities cut financial support for a government carrying out genocide is certainly legitimate, but it cannot stop the genocide itself. The universities, tied by a thousand threads to the state and the Democratic Party, are impervious to the moral appeals of students. More fundamentally, the genocide in Gaza is part of a broader imperialist war, led by the American ruling class and its allies in Europe, with Israel serving as a key proxy, aimed at violently reordering the world. Despite more than a year of global mass protests, the genocide has not been halted. It has accelerated. It will not be stopped through appeals to the political establishment or the structures of capitalism. only the development of a powerful, independent movement of the international working class, fighting for socialism, can end war, imperialism, and repression. For these articles and more today, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.